Welcome to Dating Talk with Keely.
Welcome to Dating Talk with Keely.
Glad to be here.
Can you tell the listeners your name, your age, and where you live?
Sure. So my name is Max. I'm 28 and I live in Atlanta. Well, I live in Marietta, which is right outside of Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Is it like a small town?
Not really. I mean, the whole metro Atlanta is fucking massive. So Marietta is just one of the big suburbs, but it's got its own stuff going on. I'm like 20 minutes from the city.
Oh, okay. Nice. That's awesome. And what do you do for a living?
So my business is a little unique. So I work for a company that's essentially like a private stripping service that caters towards women with a dad bod fetish. So I'm kind of like the poster boy, as well as I expand our presence across the Southeast.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool and unique.
With you. That'd be a really cool job though.
Oh my God, I got so excited.
That'd be exciting, right? No, I'm actually much fucking lamer than that. So I work in technology staffing. So I recruit software engineers for clients around the country, and I teach recruiters how to sell.
Awesome. Oh my God, you got me so excited.
Yeah, you just gotta have that stone face delivery when you do it, and everyone will believe you.
That's so funny. So how do you identify?
Straight, very straight.
Okay. And how long have you been in the dating game?
Oh my God. I guess that's what you consider been in the dating game. I mean, you know, in theory, since I was a perverted little 11-year-old kid looking at Playboy magazines, but really, I guess, I don't know, 16, 17, if you even count that shit.
Said, how old did you say you were?
I'm 28.
Okay, cool. And what were your parents like growing up?
So, my parents are pretty cool. They're two like Northeastern, like Jewish liberal parents. They were kind of like the work hard, play hard type when they were my age. So they definitely had their experiences, to say the least, in the dating life. And they, you know, they had me and my brother, so they had no daughters. So they were very encouraging as far as whatever the hell I wanted to do in my dating life. So it was kind of fun. They're a trip, man. They're a trip.
Oh, that's awesome. And they're still together?
Yeah. They're one of the few. 30 something years later, they're still together.
Yeah, that's nice. My parents are the same. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's rare these days.
So usually I ask people how we know each other, but we don't actually know each other. We met in a Facebook group. So.
Yeah, we don't actually really know each other. We met in that base. I don't know how to explain it other than like a really sex positive, like supportive Facebook group. And I think that's really it.
Yeah, definitely. It's fun to interview somebody you don't know, though, because you get like real reactions and stuff.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. Let's get weird. I'm about it.
Okay, so when was your last real relationship and how was the breakup?
Well, that's a good question. So I guess 2 years ago, I was sort of kind of in a relationship, but I wouldn't really call it serious. But like real serious, I guess. I guess it was 2015. So I dated a girl from when I was 21 to 24, pretty seriously and monogamously. So I would really count that one as like the only real serious one.
Okay. And how is the breakup? How do you get over breakups in general?
So I would say it was pretty amicable. I mean, for me, you know, I kept like, I was in something where, I mean, she was an absolutely wonderful girl, but you know, for me, there was always something that felt like it wasn't there or that it wasn't right. And I kept trying to, you know, meditate about it, do something, not do something, make it go away, not do anything, hope it'll go away on its own. And no matter what I did, that thing was not there. And it took me so long to finally understand that, like, just because I can't tangibly understand what it is, doesn't mean it's going to go away. And I finally got out of it, but you know, I think we did a pretty good job communicating with each other, but yeah, you know, I still had a lot of love for her. So for me, you know, I still consider it a successful relationship. And some people look at me weird when I say that, because I believe that you can have a successful relationship, even if it doesn't end up with you guys being together. Right. And so you know, that was, in my eyes, something that was successful. It was healthy. We learned together. We grew together. But during the to protect myself. So I did all the unfollow on the social media stuff, started hanging out with some different folks so that I didn't run into her. Like, I needed the space to, like, chill the fuck out and, like, kind of get over the whole thing. And because every time that we had tried to, like, sort of split before, we'd see each other and it would just rip the Band-Aid right off. I couldn't play that game. So it was a healthy thing. We're still friendly, but I don't think it's, like, wise for us to, like, go hang out by ourselves together and be, like, homies these days, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, definitely. I like what you said about having a successful relationship. I feel like, you know, my last relationship, it was, like, 7 years ago, but I think it was, like, a successful relationship that we both learned from. I think that's a really cool statement.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, the growth is... growth is not always comfortable. So, you know, going through that and, like, you know, the pain and the anxiety of not being sure, like, when to get out and if I should get out, like, was absolutely torturous. But I look back at that now and I'm like, all right, you know what? I needed that experience if I'm going to kind of continue on this human journey to, you know, that next place. So, yeah, I'm right there with you on that.
Yeah. So what's your perspective on dating? Do you, like, really enjoy it? Are you sick of it? Do you hate it?
Oh, man. You know, it really depends on, like, where I'm at and what I'm out there looking for. Because, you know, for the most part, over the past several years, I haven't really been looking for, like, a girlfriend. You know, I've been more hanging out in the area of what I consider to be, like, being an ethical slut, which is, like, playing with multiple people, but not being a fuckboy about it, if that makes sense. And I'll be honest, I'm not always perfect at it, but that's my goal. And, you know, the whole idea is, like, hey, I'm going to make new friends and, you know, maybe we'll roll around naked together or maybe we won't, but I'm not going to mislead with love for the sake of getting laid. Like, I've cock blocked myself 1,000 times because, you know, it became obvious that if I did sleep with someone, that it would cause harm. And so my goal is I want to have fun and I want to be free in that area, but not at the sake of going out there and creating damage, right? But I am at a place now where, you know, I think that if I met the right girl, that I would be open to that. Now, do I know whether it's something that I would be, I guess, polyamorous about? That's a whole nother topic of conversation, because the answer is maybe I don't know. But I guess over the past year there's been some interest in exploring something like truly dating and relationshipy. But any of the girls that I found interest, it wasn't really reciprocated or it would just kind of fall off. But I guess the way I see it, and especially living in the South, dude, because I grew up outside of New York City, and being in the South, like, if you're 29 and you're not married and have kids, like, it's almost weird. But, you know, there's a lot of people that they succumb to this social constraint that, like, well, other people around me are XYZ, therefore that's where I should be. And I don't really let that get to me because I don't want to hop into something because I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. Because, you know, when I met my best self, Max can be happy and fulfilled with or without anybody. And so for me to just hop into something that isn't a woman that I find amazing, empowering, intelligent, gorgeous, like all of these things, I'd rather just be chilling. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely. I totally agree. I'm the same way. Like, I always say, like, I have soulmates in my life. And if I live the rest of my life without finding, like, my true, like, partner that I want to marry and stuff like that, that my friends are my soulmates, my family is my soulmate.
Fuck, like, yeah, dude.
Yeah, like, I'll be all right.
Yep,
you know?
I'm right there with it. Nice to hear some other like-minded folk.
Yeah, for sure. And I like what you said about, like, that you consider yourself an ethical slut versus a fuckboy. I think, like, more men should look at sex that way. So that's really cool. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, when I was 19, 20, like, I think I just was just, like, the other fuckboys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't, I was just trying to fit in, and like, I was looking for validation. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was in, I like to joke, and when I was in high school, I was captain of the friend zone team. Like, I had fucking no game, dude. I was terrified, absolutely terrified. I was terrified of rejection, and it like totally held me back. And once I went to college and I like kind of figured it out, you know, I totally like went off, and like my ability to get laid became a huge part of my identity. And in that, you know, you kind of lose, you can lose sight of the moral compass. And so I don't think that the way I was living and being a slut in that period of time in my life really was super ethical. And then you deal with the guilty conscience, right? And like, for me, like, it's very important for me to kind of walk around on this earth like free of that. And yeah, so, you know, if I'm going to play, you know, and sometimes when I meet a girl, they're like, what are you here looking for? And I'm like, quite frankly, I'm not sure. It just depends on who I meet. And, you know, right. I've met some, you know, I've actually made some really dope ass friends on like Tinder. And, right. you know, I've also met girls that we started by hooking up, and then it pivoted like really quickly, and we're homies. And I mean, I've had all kinds of experience. You know, as long as I'm doing my best not to be dishonest or manipulative or those things, like, it can be a cool journey. But I think a lot of men, I think our male egos really kind of keep us from, I think that there's this sense, it's kind of like this human need to find the quickest way to satisfaction, and to is that quick fix for the sake of honesty and doing right is uncomfortable. And so a lot of people, they just don't do it.
Right. No, I liked everything you just said. I thought it was great. I was like actually kind of speechless for a second. But tell me what dating apps you use. Do you have like a favorite or a least favorite?
Yeah. So now we can get into this at some point. Right now I'm on zero dating apps. I am taking a sabbatical. But when I am on dating apps, I'm on Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, and J-Swipe, because I'm Jewish. So,
oh my gosh, I love that.
Meet Jewish girls that way. But to be honest with you, like, Tinder has always been like where I've had any success. I don't think I'm a very like internet photogenic guy. I feel like I reverse catfish women. Like, when they actually take the leap of faith to meet me, they're like, oh, you're actually kind of cuter in person. I didn't expect this. So, but yeah, Tinder is probably where I've had my most fun.
Okay, nice. So why are you on a sabbatical? I tend to take breaks from the apps as well, but I'd love to know why you're on a little break.
Yes. So I am going to be taking I'm already on it. I'm about a week in. And I am on a sexual sabbatical at least through January is my goal. And the reason I'm doing it is because, although I agree with the whole path of ethical slut, what I have a tendency to do, and I don't think it's just exclusive to me, is if I'm not in a centered spiritual place, I will start to use sex for all of the wrong reasons. And so I'll start to use it when I'm not feeling well, and I start to neglect other things that are important in my life to go get laid or to go have one of these adventures. And, you know, and then when I do that long enough and I see it, and if I keep that going, that's when all of a sudden I'll start compromising my morals in that area. And it starts feeding kind of a sick area that's not healthy for me. And I saw that beginning to unfold. And so, you know, for me, and you know, I keep some men in my life that, you know, hold me accountable and give me mentorship and advice, and I can bounce stuff off. And myself and some of them agreed that for me, the best place to start for me to kind of recenter and become the best version of Max was to just stop it altogether. And you know, it's hard because I like to fuck. I like the validation. I like the release. I like the company. I like to cuddle. I like all of that shit, right? And so to remove that, it's been difficult, but that's the reason why I'm taking a break. I just want to get to a place where you know, Max is okay just being Max. And if he's having fun, it's just to have fun and bring excitement, not to mask something that's not feeling right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. Like, what are the signs that you saw that you were like, okay, it's time that I take like a little break because of this or that? Like, what were the signs that you saw?
So here's some fucked up shit. That's a great question. Let me take a sip of water real quick.
Oh, yeah. Take your time.
So one thing I did was I slept with a married woman, and and she's not in an open relationship. And that's something I know, I don't agree with at all. Like, I'm not proud of it even in the slightest. But, you know, and I've always said, oh, no, I'm not a homewrecker. I'm not a homewrecker, right? And I shut it down a few times, and she was very persistent. Finally, I caved in. So that was one sign for me. I'm like, huh, maybe you're not in a great place where you're justifying this kind of behavior. Number two, I impulsively planned a trip to Dallas where I was going to sleep with multiple women that I had met over the walk of life. And I did that while one of my family members is relatively sick, and it'd probably be more beneficial for me to be here than doing that. And I saw myself starting to do these things, A, compromising my morals, and B, eliminating things that that are probably more important to me for the sake of going getting laid. Like, I'm supposed to be like landing back in Atlanta right now from Dallas. I canceled the trip, right? So those are little things, but just realizing how much of my brain power and my time I'm like spending on like Snapchatting back and forth and like just being involved. It got to a point where it consumed me. And I have the kind of brain that where it's like anything that excites me for more than 15 seconds, I get hooked on. So I just needed to step back.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. I'm kind of like that. Like, I'm in that zone with alcohol right now where like I was going out and like just getting like too drunk. Like, and then I was like, okay, like I need to like set like a 4-drink limit, because like it's like I would wake up and have like crippling like hangover anxiety, and like then I was like, why am I not just like having a couple drinks and going home? Like, I was the type of person that'd be like, okay, like let me just buy everybody a round of shots. Like, I'm just like constantly looking for fun, and I'm like, okay, like let's shut it down after 4 drinks. You're drunk, you're feeling good. Like you don't need to buy the whole bar, like a round of shots, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, dude, I mean, just side note here. So I've actually been sober for almost 8 years. Like, I am a balls to the wall fucking alcoholic junkie. So like, yeah, man, like anything that kind of catches my attention for more than 15 seconds, I am in on. So it always fascinates me when normal people are able to like set a drink limit and then stick to it though. Like, I think it's great and adorable and kind of healthy.
I did it last night, so I'm on the I'm good.
Nice, dude. Nice.
And I still had a ton of fun, and I got home at a decent hour. So,
dude, that's a win for sure.
So what's it like dating sober? Like, do you like go to the bar and like? Do you worry about having the conversation with somebody?
Oh my God. Like, yeah, that's a good question. So I think my biggest fear getting sober, like the first, like, cause I hadn't, oh my God, I don't think I'd ever had sex sober. Cause I was fucked up all the time. Right. I think my biggest fear was a combination of I'm never going to get laid again. And if I do, it's not going to last more than 45 seconds. And I was like absolutely terrified. And then how was I going to have the courage to like, cause you know, alcohol used to give me the nuts to do anything. Right. And so, and hilariously, the first time I did have sex sober, it lasted about 45 seconds. But then you get back up and you go for a long time. You're like, oh, okay, shit's not so bad. So for me, like pretty much everything I had to do when I got sober was this new uncomfortable experience where I had to walk through fear with faith and just do something anyways, even when my hands were shaking. And so in the beginning, I was terrified. I like had to learn how to talk to people again. I really had just relied on alcohol for everything. So, you know, in the beginning, it was kind of weird. And then when you're at a place where you're like, hey, look, I know at this point with 100% confidence that Max
drinking or doing drugs is a really fucking bad thing. Therefore, I have to learn how to have a normal life without it. You just start getting in the mix. And, you know, and that was the whole process that kind of helped me teach me about, like, how to be honest and not be a fucking fuckboy about everything. And, you know, early on, I think it was terrifying to tell women that I didn't drink, especially like when I was like 21, you know, early on when like everyone's kind of drinking. But a lot of it, like for me, I've realized is it's really just my ego. If like I'm so terrified that like a woman's going to reject me because I don't drink, well, let's step back and look at that, right? Well, then let her reject you. Maybe if
right.
you're not being someone who drinks is a problem for them, well, then let's just end it right there. And then that's no problem. Most of the women that I've met don't care, especially because I'm not the kind of sober guy that just avoids the world and smokes cigarettes outside of a, you know, an anonymous clubhouse. Like I go out, I go do shit. Like I've blown a rack at the strip club completely sober. Like I do stuff. So, mm-hmm. you know, there was weird things in the beginning, though, that'd be like, hey, you want to meet for drinks? And I'd be like, oh, let me just explain the whole. Nowadays, I say, yeah, sure, let's meet for drinks. And I order a Diet Coke. And if there's a question about it, I just say, oh, yeah, I don't drink. And it's really no big deal. But it was such a big deal because of how much I was in my head about what I thought other people thought of.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense for sure. So why don't you tell me about your best date that you've gone on?
My best date that I've gone on. I think one of the coolest ones that I had, I ended up talking to this girl for like 9 months. We met on Tinder and I like the witty, you know, self-deprecating humor, the can banter back and forth. That's like what fucking gets my rocks off. Right. This chick was really fascinating and weird. Joking, and she's like, what'd you do for your birthday? I said, oh, I went to the Cheetah, which is my favorite strip club here in Atlanta. And we were kind of joking back and forth. And we started joking, like, how ridiculous would that be if we went on our first date at the strip club? And I was like, fucking run it, dog. Like, let's do it. So I met this girl for our first date at the Cheetah. And we just ate a meal with tits bouncing in our face and like really broke the ice really quickly. But hilariously, like I ended up like really being into this girl and we talked and dated for like 9 months. But it all started at a meal at a strip club. So that's the best part.
Oh my gosh, I love
it was cool.
That's so
fun. it was a lot of fun. We're still friendly and in touch, and every once in a while I'll message her and I'll be like, hey, you remember that time you ordered a fucking Greek salad at a strip club? And I never let her down. I'm like, seriously, dude, you're gonna order a Greek salad? Like, that's cute. That's real cute.
Oh my god, that is so funny. So on the opposite end, tell me about like the worst date you've ever been on.
I guess I kind of feel bad about this one. So I guess I'm just going to answer with the first thing that comes to mind when you ask me this question.
Yeah.
So I was in Charlotte visiting friends, and I was probably there pseudo for business. I traveled a lot for work the past couple of years, and I met this girl on Tinder and we were chatting back and forth. And, you know, she's very attractive looking, at least on her pictures on Tinder. And I'm sure you can see where this is going. So I go to this bar where she wants me to meet her. And I'm there for work. And she's like, hey, I'm sitting in between this guy and this guy. And I was like, okay, cool. And I walk in and I look and I see this girl that's sitting in between whoever she told me. And it sort of looks like her, except she's like 150 pounds heavier than she looked like in Tinder. Now, I'm not fat shaming, okay? That's not what this is about. But when you misrepresent yourself, you can't expect from people to just like, I don't know. I flipped out and I didn't know what to do. I ran past like twice. Like she didn't see me there yet. And I walked back and forth twice to be like, is this really the girl? And when I determined that it was this girl, but she was using pictures that were like completely, I don't know if it was just not her at all, or if it was just like 3 years old, but I just fucking dipped, dude. And I feel terrible about it, because that's like, I'll usually just like tolerate something and be nice and be respectful about it and find my way out. But I just fucking walked out of the bar.
Oh my gosh. I've definitely had like people that have pictures from like years ago. And I'm like, there was this one guy who had like a lip ring and looked like he was like 10 years older. And I had no idea who he was. Like, I think there should be a name for like, not catfishing, but for like people who use their pictures that are like really old.
It's so not cool. You're just putting people on the spot. Like, I was like, I felt like a shallow ghosting asshole kind of guy. But then like, when I really processed it, I was like, you know what? Nah, dude, like, fuck her. That was some bullshit.
Right. Some bullshit. Yeah, like, you should definitely, like, show who you are on your profile.
Yeah. Yeah, not cool, man. Not cool.
Mm-hmm. So I like to ask people, like, what their first time was like.
Oh, my God. I was 16 years old. But I was a senior in high school. I was younger than the rest of my grade. And we're at my buddy's house, and we were all drinking and getting high. And his whole basement was like of his parents' house, you know, was like this dirty fucking party space. And me and this girl start hooking up on like this filthy fucking carpet on the floor in this dark, dirty room off to the side. And I, oh my God, I wonder if it took me 40 seconds to come. I don't know. I don't even know if I made it that long, but I just like almost after I was there, I just fucking exploded. And, but you know, I was 16 years old. I'd never done it before. Right. So I don't look back, but I was ecstatic about it. I was so excited because I felt like I was like the late bloomer amongst my friends to finally get laid. But just this filthy, filthy, shameful experience was like the pride and joy of my existence at that point.
I feel like that's how most guys.
Oh yeah. Right? Oh yeah. I mean, I think as soon as I put myself in, I was just like, I'm in trouble.
Oh yeah. I took three guys' virginities, and all of them, it was like 10 seconds.
Yeah, dude. And you just, honestly, you just got to kind of give it a pass. It's like, hey, look.
Oh yeah, like, well, I wasn't.
Oh no, of course. It's like, look, dude, we just unplugged you from the matrix. Now let's talk.
And surprisingly, the guy that I lost my virginity to, he lost it to me too, and he lasted. So I was like surprised, because I was like, oh, I guess this is what sex is like. And then like, when like a couple years later or something, I had taken like two other guys, and I was like, oh no, this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, man, we're all different, and we get like, I don't like, we get real scientific about it too, like especially if we know that we're the type that's like prone to like letting an easy one out. Like, I don't know if you've talked to guys who've like peeled back the curtain to like tell you about like some of the shit that we've done. Like, when I used to like I guess in like my late teens or early 20s, like that was something I was totally prone to. And so, like, we do all this shit. We're like, okay, cool. So I know that I'm going to be seeing her in, like, you know, at 8 o'clock tonight. So I'm going to make sure that I masturbate at 5 p.m. tonight just to get a quick one out. And then, and here's going to be my strategy. And then we'll, like, think about weird, disgusting shit in case it starts happening too early. Like, it's actually not, like, I don't think it's a healthy thing, because you're, like, not able to be present when you're doing that sort of thing. But I remember in, like, my early 20s, like late teens, when that was like a thing that I would deal with, like all of the crazy contraptions and ideas that I would come up with to prevent that from happening.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous.
So tell me about a funny sex encounter you had.
This poor girl. So, you know, I must have been, oh man, I must have been 20, 21. And me and this girl had been having sex. I'm probably well over an hour at this point. And it was starting to get a little raw. She's starting to get a little dry. Nothing on her. I mean, dude, we had been going at it viciously for a while at this point. But we wanted to keep having sex because we're like fucking 21 and horny, right? And quite frankly, yeah. I'm still that way now and I'm 28, but that's neither here nor there. But I didn't know what to do. And I was like, all right, well, I don't have lube. I didn't even, like, that never even occurred to me. So I was like, well, what do I do so that we can keep doing this? And so my dumbass sees a thing of Lubriderm, like hand lotion, just on my counter. I'm like, all right, well, I mean, it's lotion, so that might as well work. She didn't think anything of it either. So I take a handful of lotion. I put it on myself. I go back inside of her. And, dude. And like 30 seconds in, all of a sudden, like the look on her face changes to like pure panic. And she goes, ow, ow, it's burning. It's burning me. Pull out, and this girl is in excruciating pain. I have no idea what to do, Keely. I'm flipped the fuck out. She's hollering in pain. I'm like completely naked with my dick in one hand, and like my hand is like rubbing her back in comfort. I take her to the bathroom. I like try splashing water at her vagina to like help her. Like, it was frantic, and I felt so bad. And I was a fucking idiot. What the fuck I was doing grabbing Lubriderm and sliding it in somebody, but
I'm like squeezing my vagina
I felt so fucking bad, and I'll tell you, I never did any dumb shit like that again. I've got like 8 different kinds of water-based lube sitting next to my bed right now, right? So I learned most lessons the hard way, but that's the one that came to mind when that fucking poor.
Oh my god.
We're still friends to this day. I haven't brought that story up to her in a while. She also just got married, so I don't know how appropriate that would be, but oof.
Right.
I'll never forget that shit, dude.
Oh my god, I can't even imagine how
I can't imagine either. Was. I was just sitting there like wide eyed with my dick in my hand, like, what am I doing? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So I usually ask people a walk of fame story because there's no shame in sex. I don't know. It's kind of different. Like, most girls have worse walk of fame stories, but do you have any of those?
Can you elaborate by what you mean by walk of fame?
So, you know how people say, like, walk of shame, and it's, like, basically, like, a girl wakes up at a guy's house in her outfit from the night before, and, like, so, like, my walk of fame story is, like, I woke up in Jersey and was wearing my outfit from last night. I had, like, heels on and had to like take like a fucking Jersey transit to get all the way back to Brooklyn, and like, you know, so it's like kind of like a walk of shame.
Yeah, okay, all right, yeah, gotcha. So, I mean, I've got I've got a handful of stories like that, but let's get at that out of the way. Especially when I went to school at Alabama, so there were just like some absolute shit shows, but most of those are like real fuckboyish stories that like I'm not really proud of. So I'm going to go with one that happened, I guess, a little bit more recently. So I've actually been playing guitar since I was like 10 years old. And, you know, I've been playing for years, and I finally started playing in a band. And so that's been like the most fun thing I've been doing the past year and a half, is like playing shows around Atlanta, playing blues rock. And I went to this show, and nothing like this has ever happened to me before. Like, it was totally like some like fake ass rock star shit, but it was neat because I'd never had any woman be this bold before. And, you know, we finish up the show, and I'm sitting there, and I'm counting tips from our tip jar, and this girl walks up, and she sits right next to me, and she leans up real close, and then she starts to nibble on my ear, and she whispers, she goes, I want your cock in my mouth right now. I just pull away, and I look at her, and I'm just like, total shock, but also really impressed. And I was like, you have my attention. And she's like, I'm going to give you porn star head tonight. And I'm just, again, I'm floored. I'm sitting there counting cash. I was like, well, I'm very interested. I've got to load up and whatever. And she was like, and you could tell she was a little tipsy. And she was like, oh, no. I can help you. I'm just thinking, this chick is not touching our gear and helping us load expensive gear. I said, how about this? I said, if you're dead set on your your declaration here. Why don't we just walk out back the venue and go do it right now? And she looks at me and she goes, right now? I said, yeah, I mean, why not? It could be exciting. She bites her bottom lip, gets up. We walk out back the venue. People are still there. Like, people are starting to clear out. And it's like this dirty, like, it had just rained wet alley with, like, storage units behind the venue. And she just slams me up against this storage unit garage door, puts her hand around my throat, and then drops to her knees with a level of viciousness I've very, very, very few seen in my entire life, and just domes me up in this filthy alley. And then afterwards, like, again, it's dark out there, and I stumble back into the venue, and me and this girl are right there in front of my entire band who's loading up gear, and this girl just looks at my lead singer, looks him dead in the eyes, and I wish I could show you what I'm doing, but she does, like, the motion with her hand to her mouth and, like, sticks her tongue to the side of – she did, like, the
duck dick
thing, just looked at him, and then walked straight out the front of the venue. So that was, like,
my
little, like, cool little, like, rock star-ish. Like, I didn't expect to have something like that happen. But I guess that was, like, a fun one. I'm not ashamed of that at all. It was actually just kind of neat.
No, that sounds hot.
Yeah, no, it was cool. I ended up walking her around on a leash about a week later. So it got a little weird and we got a little explorative. But, it was a fun time.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's good to explore. So what turns you on in a woman?
I think confidence and, like, a level of, like, comfort is definitely a turn on. Like, you know, I think, like, all of us, like, as humans, we have, like, our own self-consciousness about certain things about our body. Like, I don't, you know, and I think I should be about 20 pounds lighter. And, you know, I think when a woman, like, just understands and respects and accepts who she is, and then she can be sexy and confident with it, to, you know, whether you're plus size or whether you think your boobs are too small or whatever the fuck you think is going on in your head, a woman who's got a level of comfort and confidence with herself, to me, is super, super attractive. The other thing is like, I think a woman who is really open to, like, communication in the bedroom, because my number is up there, right? And you know, I'd say the majority of women that I've been with, when you start to ask them a question like, hey, when I go down on you, like, what are some things that you don't like? And you kind of get this weird look. You can tell that maybe they've never been used to, like, being asked about what pleases them. And so, like, and obviously I'm going to explore myself, and I'm all about reading your body language and understanding how to adjust from there. But I might ask a question. I'm just going to be like, hey, like, what, like, you know, cause y'all are all so fucking different. You know, I dated a girl that, you know, if you were going down on her, she didn't want a finger anywhere inside of her. She just wanted clit play the whole time, and she'd come like crazy. You know, I've got others who, you know, it's got to be a kind of a steady, slow massage type thing on the G-spot. And then others that are like, what are you doing? Go as fast and hard, as furious and thrust as possible. And so for me, sometimes it's sensible to be like, hey, like, what's your thing? Especially if it's new. I mean, I'll learn on my own, but I'll ask. And a woman who's not scared to, like, participate in that conversation is also a huge turn on, because it means that me and that person can start to learn each other sexually and understand how we can make each other feel as good as possible. Cause I'm totally a pleaser. Like, I'm the type of guy that, like, if for whatever reason I can't get her off, even if it's the first time we've ever played, I will get very upset internally. I don't, like, make a mess, like, about it, but, like, it is my goal 100% of the time.
Right.
So yeah, that's what comes to mind.
Yeah, I get that. I had this guy, like, we went on one date and then we had sex, and during, I had, like, told him to choke me or whatever. So then, like, after we were done, I was like, oh, like, we should do this again sometime since we, like, live so close, like, maybe, like, explore and, like, play around and, like, whatever. He was like, I just want to let you know I'm not into BDSM. I was like, BDSM. Like,
oh yeah.
I was like, why didn't you tell me you didn't want to choke me? Like, and I was just like thinking in my head, like, did he just like choke me, like feel uncomfortable, like while he was?
Oh, that's so weird. And to think that someone would consider just some choking to be BDSM is kind of a cute but alarming in itself. But yeah, dude, I don't know. I don't know. That's some shit. But like, to be fair, I have done some stuff upon request that I wasn't like quite certain about. And then when I just gave it a whirl because it's something she was into, I found a new tool for my toolbox. So.
Oh yeah. Same with me.
Sure. Like I think I'll choke a girl hard. Right. But I make sure it's a blood choke, not an air choke. Anytime I meet a girl that like wants her fucking, like, I don't know, her fucking air hole choked off, I'm like, not about that. But I do the blood choke. Right. But I won't see, I have my lines. Like, I won't go to that place where she's like, where she fucking knocks out. Like, I'll go to the place where it's getting there and the face is turning red and the eyes are playing tricks, but not like, I like to be dominant and I like to have fun, but I don't want to do anything that's actually going to put somebody in serious harm. And some girls are like, yeah, fucking stab me in the face, daddy. And I'm like, can't do that.
Yeah, I get that.
Now it's time for some games.
So we're going to play some Would You Rather.
Okay.
So would you rather hair or no pubic hair?
No, I prefer clean shaven, but I'm not afraid to navigate the forest for sure.
Okay, yeah, I prefer a good amount of hair on a dude. I'd rather not even trim or whatever. But again, I don't really care that much.
Love it. Yeah, that's my preference, but I'll play ball regardless.
Yeah, same. Would you rather have a dinner date or a just drinks date?
Well, I guess for me it's a dinner date because, you know, I can eat the food, I can't drink the drinks.
Right. That makes sense. I prefer a just drinks date just in case I want to get the fuck out of there. I don't need to wait for our meals and things like that.
That's as far as straight to the point, like, let's get our drinks, make sure you're not a serial killer, and then go home with him, or at least just to be able to determine right then and there whether it's worth it or not.
Yeah, like, I'm very big on, like, if I know I'm not into him, like, I'll just be like, have one drink and then I'll be like, okay, like, I gotta go home, like, yeah. You know, like, and then like, I'm not gonna ghost him or anything. I'll just be like, you know, I just didn't feel like the chemistry was there, or so I like to just be able to get out.
Oh, that's
there.
Cool. I don't do the ghosting thing. I find it to be like the most, like, the purest form of disrespect. Like, I'd rather someone tell me that they just hate my face and that they don't want to talk to me than just like not respond. I don't know. That's just how I'm wired.
Yeah, no, me too, for sure. Would you rather role play or a specific kink like foot fetish?
Probably role play, because I can't think of like, I don't have like a foot thing, or like the only thing I can think of is like, I'm fucked. Like if a girl starts nibbling on my ear, like I'll melt into a puddle. You could rob me for everything and I wouldn't stop you. But like, I don't have a strange fetish, or like, I wouldn't call it strange, but like a not so average fetish.
Yeah, I would choose role play too, just because, well, I love it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Would you rather pay on the first date or split it?
So here's my ideal. It's not going to be a one or the other answer. I rather when a girl offers to pay on the first date, but I still like to pay. And so for me, especially if it's somebody that like I'm actually like dating and exploring, to me it's, and I always validate anytime that this happens, a girl offers to split. I say, first of all, that's incredibly attractive that you're willing to do that, and it means the world to me. Thank you for offering. However, I asked you to dinner, so I would love to pay for it if you'll let me. And every once in a while, you'll meet a girl that's insistent and I'm independent and no one's going to pay for me, and I will back off as not to offend her.
But I really like to pay for the first one, but there's nothing sexier than a girl who offers to split, because I think one of my kinks is I love to spoil girls that don't ask for anything.
Yeah.
Like, and a girl that's like, I don't know, like she's just out there looking for like a monetization. And I know a lot of girls that are like into sex work, and I think it's great. I encourage it, but like for me, it's not something I'm interested in. When I meet a girl who has like that little bit of independence in her, it's a huge turn on for me, and I love to spoil those kind of girls. I just love to.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I always offer to split it, and I usually tell people, like, we're all in this dating world and we're all dating, and like, it shouldn't be just up to the guys to like pay for every date. So I'll like offer, but if they're insistent, I'm like, that's fine. Like, why don't you pay for this? And if we go to another bar, I'll pay for that, or
Yeah,
like,
and
whatever.
that's like for like the first one. Like if I'm like actually dating somebody seriously and they're expecting me to pay for every single thing, I'm actually finding my way out of that relationship. Because I find it to be disrespectful, because I look at a relationship as a partnership, not anything other than that.
Right. Would you rather give or receive?
Give. I'm a
Me
pleaser,
too.
man. I'm a pleaser. I mean, look, I love to get my rocks off, but like, and I think maybe it's an ego thing, but like, something about like, I don't know, something about like leaving a girl in a puddle of herself with her legs shaking and just getting real close and whispering, "That's my good girl," is like just, it's just makes me the happiest man on the face of the planet. And so, like, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, if it's one or the other, like, probably give, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think mine's more just about that I like love the act of giving head. So
Sure.
it's more like I get off more giving than
Yeah,
receiving.
no, I get it. I mean, like, I love to eat pussy. I'll do it all fucking day long, right? But like,
Yeah.
regardless of how I'm giving or what I'm doing, like, something about getting a girl to come or come harder than she's come before. Like for me, it's like it's a challenge thing. It's an ego stroke thing. But like, I like when I can bring pleasure to my partner. I just enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. Nighttime or morning sex?
Night sex, for sure.
Me
For
too.
sure, dude.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, I like some morning sex, but every once in a while, I'm not really a morning person. So I
Right.
don't know. And I like it when it's been a fun night. We've been doing stuff and we're out there dancing and music. We come back, clothes start falling off, and I'm ripping her off her panties with my teeth and shit. Like that's a nighttime thing. You don't do that in the morning.
Yep. Would you rather music, TV, or silence in the room while you're hooking up?
Sorry, say that one more time.
Would you like music, TV, or silence while hooking
Music.
up? Same.
Yep. I'm all about music, and I change it up, and it depends on who I'm with and what the vibe is. Like, I love it, dude. I love it.
Definitely. Oh my God, one time I was like, I had played like an old Adele song, like I like was showing him like an older Adele song that like I thought he wouldn't know or something like that. And then we like started hooking up and I realized my phone was like playing Adele, like every Adele like song, like super like slow and like romantic or whatever.
Oh no.
But my phone was like so far across the room that I was just like, well, I guess this is
So you just
happening.
ended up like making sweet, sweet candlelight love to sad,
Yeah,
sappy
like
Adele.
kinda. Like it was actually like kind of good sex because I was like, it like turned into like romantic
Yeah.
sex for a
There's nothing. So
second.
my favorite album to have that kind of sex to is it's this compilation. It's called the Jimi Hendrix Blues album. And it's like this
Ooh.
dirty, slow, vibey, like just a bunch of songs that are just like psychedelic, slow blues, and like I don't want to call it romantic, but like if you're into like that slow, like if you're gonna do foreplay where you're just licking her from head to toe for 10 minutes beforehand and getting weird and biting clothing and
being kind of like slithering a little bit and getting weird.
Yeah.
That has like been for years my absolute number one favorite go-to. So when you get a chance, Keely, try it out.
Remind me to download it.
I got you, dog. I got recording.
You. Okay. Would you rather video porn, literotica, or using your imagination?
Video porn.
Okay. I'm like, oh God, it's so hard because I go back and forth. Like I think I like literotica a little bit better.
I've never really dabbled that much. So.
Oh my God, you have to.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's just go to literotica.com and just look at a bunch.
Dude, I'm open-minded. I'll get weird.
Yeah, it's just fun because like you're imagining it, but you're reading it. I don't know. I like it.
Word.
Would you rather a student teacher role play or a stranger in a bar role play?
Student teacher.
Me too. Would you rather only have sex in the bedroom for the rest of your life or never have sex in the bedroom for the rest of your life?
Now that's neat. I'm going to, that's a really tough one. I'm going to go with only the bedroom, considering I have like my entire fucking chest full of toys and I've got my swing here and I've got all the stuff that I need in the bedroom that I feel like I can be much more dynamic that, oh man, younger me would be really upset at me right now for saying this because I used to like totally get off about like fucking in the wildest, most inappropriate places, which I have a lot of those.
Okay.
But nah, I'm going to go with in the bedroom.
Okay. Me too. Where was the craziest place you had sex though?
And let me premise this with the fact that it was like in the middle of the night and nobody was there. But the playground of a synagogue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was wildly inappropriate. And we were both Jewish and young and we're like, yeah, fuck the system, man. So we just like bent her over the slide and just railed her on this playground.
Oh my God.
So yeah, that, and I'd say it's the diving board of my neighborhood pool, like pretty dangerously in public, probably goes on that list too. So in Atlanta, there is these two kind of iconic buildings. They're called the King and Queen Building. And I worked in the Queen Building for like 5.5 years. And so it was always like a fucking fantasy of mine to have sex in the Queen Building. And part of, this is part of why we're identifying me by first name, right? Because so I ended up like fulfilling a fantasy and I ended up banging one of my interns. But I banged her in this abandoned office, like during office hours in the Queen Building, 27 floors up into the air. And for me, that was like a total fucking like fantasy come true type thing. But the Queen Building definitely was a huge bucket list item for me that I knocked off.
Nice. Cool. All right, so let's switch to Never Have I Ever.
Okay.
Never Have I Ever role played. I think we probably know the answer to that.
Yeah, no, I've done that. Honestly, not much though, but I've done it.
Okay, cool. What was your favorite role play that you've tried?
I'm blanking.
That's okay. No worries. Mine was like a burglar scenario.
Oh, yeah.
That I did, yeah. Never have I ever given or received a golden shower.
Never have I ever. It's honestly been asked of me. It was a girl that like was really, really into being degraded. And I could only humor her so far before I felt like really wrong about it. But I was not going to pee on her. And I did not.
Okay. Never have I ever.
Hold on, wait a second. You got to answer that one.
Oh, I actually have peed on a guy, but it was like in the shower, and I kind of was just like, well, that was pointless.
Oh.
Like, I didn't really get, like, I didn't.
I feel like that doesn't count.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Keep going.
Never have I ever walked out on a date.
I already told you that story. I totally walked out. I didn't even meet her. I couldn't do it. So yeah, I've definitely done that.
Okay, never have I ever kissed a celebrity.
Have I ever kissed a celebrity? No, a relative of celebrities, but that doesn't count, so no.
Okay, me neither. Never have I ever used an inanimate object to masturbate.
Oh my God. So any male who's ever been like ages 11 through 13 has totally used an inanimate object to masturbate. So absolutely.
Yep. I don't think I have. I can't think of anything.
No, you didn't do like the hairbrush thing as a kid? None of that?
No, I always have been like a hand girl. I hardly really use toys. Like I have them, I use them, but when it's like a just me getting off, it's usually just my
good
hand.
Good for you, man. That's you're a classic. You're an old school. I like that.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Yep. Never have I ever had a threesome.
I have not. And let me sit on this one for a second. So I actually had a foursome when I was in college. And it was really just me and like my buddy like switching with like the two girls that we were with. So it doesn't really count. The number one thing on my bucket list is a threesome. And I've been chasing it. And getting laid for me is not very hard. Getting a threesome has proved to be damn near impossible. I think the biggest obstacle that I run into is a lot of the women that like I, you know, have played with. They don't like the idea of sharing.
Gotcha.
So yeah, still number one on my list, man. I am chasing that motherfucker.
Yeah, I've had a threesome. I actually went on a threesome date. Like there was a couple on Tinder that I met and they like took me out and we had a threesome and then I went home and that was that.
Nice. How was that? Was that fun or was it weird or like what was your experience with that?
Really fun. I had a good time. They wanted to like continue and I wasn't interested in that. Like I wasn't interested in going back and doing it again. But I had a good time, yeah, for sure. Like it was like my first time like going down on a girl, but I was like, I want to like try everything if I'm like partaking in this.
Yeah,
season.
Of course.
So yeah, so it was fun. I had a good time, but I wasn't interested in like doing it again, to be honest.
There you go.
Yeah. Never have I ever used an ex's nudes to get off.
Oh, that's bullshit. Of course I've done that. Of course yeah. I've done that. Absolutely done that. I still have videos from like way back in the day. Now, obviously, I would never like put them out there or whatever. But, you know, I still keep them just to have them for memories.
Yeah, I have so many like old dick
pics. Fuck yeah, dude. Run it.
Never have I ever snuck out in the morning after a one night stand.
Oh, I've snuck out where like I didn't want her to know that I was dipping out. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I just think like you're like grabbing your clothes so that they don't wake up and like
I've done that in the middle of the night, not really so much in the morning where I've been like she finally fell asleep and I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? And then I've like slowly rolled out of bed and like tried to make sure my belt didn't clink around and make much noise. And then just like, as soon as I'm out the door, I'm sprinting to my car. Yeah, I've done that. It's been a while, but I've done
it. It's been a while for me too, but I definitely have.
It's usually because like some weird shit went down. Like not, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Never have I ever ghosted.
Ghosted somebody?
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, maybe when I was, like I said, maybe when I was being fuckboyish back when I was like 19 or 20. Like, I really don't fucking believe in that. So, I don't really ghost anybody. If I've like had to put somebody on block, it's because they were being like absolutely over the top or obnoxious. And I had already made it clear multiple times that like whatever they were doing wasn't okay. And therefore I don't really consider ghosting, but like when all of a sudden I'm having some like nice flirty back and forth and things are going well. And then I just straight dipset on somebody and don't respond and block them on everything. Nah, I've never done that.
Yeah. I think the only time I've ghosted is like when I had like a really bad first date and I was just like, and he like would text me the next day and I'm just like, But I've only done that like once or twice, and it was like just like a terrible date where I like didn't even think he like deserved.
Oh yeah, all right, that's fair. Like it was total schmuck.
Yeah, like I was just like, I don't even want to go there. that was also a long time ago. Never have I ever hooked up with a stranger while traveling.
I did that as recent as like 3 weeks ago. Yeah, nice. Yeah. I was visiting my family in Dallas. I was staying at my aunt and uncle's place, and I matched with this girl on Tinder. Ended up being an incredible fucking sex, but I snuck her into my aunt and uncle's house, where I was staying, and like quietly brought her up the stairs and just blasted this 20 year old. She's gorgeous. I was very thrilled about her. But yeah, that was a one night stand. Trip to Dallas hookup, and that was like less than a month ago. A lot of fun. I'm all about that shit. Nice. All about that shit.
Never have I ever played strip poker.
No, I never have.
Yeah, I think I played like strip flip cup or something like that. Like college.
I did
years.
Strip pong, and I think I had to run around the fraternity house naked, like holding my hands over my dick or something. But that was about it.
Yeah, never have I ever had sex in the ocean.
No, and I'm not even interested in that, dude. That sounds fucking awful. I don't like sex in water. I can do a little shower sex as long as it's big enough to navigate around. But like the water washes away everything you need. I'm not a fan. Overrated as fuck.
Gotcha. I've had sex on the beach, but not in the ocean.
I'd rather just avoid the coast altogether.
I think I probably know the answer to this. Never have I ever drank too much and woke up in a stranger's bed.
Sorry, you cut out again. Say that one more time.
Never have I ever drank too much and woke up in a stranger's bed.
So it's an interesting answer. So as much as I was like pathetically alcoholic, it was very, very rare for me to actually fully black out. So if I woke up the next morning, I usually had at least some idea of how I got there.
Okay.
Gotcha. So maybe not the answer you were thinking.
No, definitely not. I definitely have before. And last one, I know the answer to. Never have I ever had sex at my job.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I've always been really, really good about the whole, all right, that's a lie. I always try to be really, really good about don't shit where you eat. For the most part, I really try and not like fuck coworkers. But this was a girl who was already a friend of mine, who I helped hire her, and she was just the summer intern, and we had already been like friends for a bit, and she was out in like several weeks after it. So I justified the shit out of that. But yeah, I totally did that.
Nice. Well, this has been so fun. Like, thank you so much for doing
this. Dude. Absolutely. No, this has been super neat. Definitely a unique experience. And then I go up to New York and Connecticut all the time to see family and friends. So if I'm ever there, I'm kidnapping you for lunch. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Yep. Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay. Bye.